Welcome to the Image and Glory Conference 2025. Open your heart to receive the words of righteousness declared to equip us against the words of darkness. Hearken to these holy words and be empowered to rule and reign.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen and amen. The Son of God and the reign of righteousness. The Son of God and the reign of righteousness. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. It must be clear to us the reason why we are in the kingdom. We are in the kingdom because of Him and not because of ourselves. We need to live for Him in order for us to reign with Him. God is bringing us into a place in the Spirit where our loyalty to God will be so pure, will be so sincere and honest with Him, that we only want to please Him and please Him alone. You can play games with people, but you cannot play games with God. The devil is always out to pollute our mind. He has three objectives: to kill, to steal, and also to destroy. And God Himself is aware of the place where we have found ourselves today. He knows those things we are vulnerable to. He knows the capacity of the prince of the power of the air. He knows how to kill us gradually before we eventually die. So it is a battle for you to stay alive in God so that you can fulfill your destiny, so that you live the kind of life that can attract a rich welcome at His appearance. So every day He's always working towards that, to destroy our conscience until He finally kills our conscience and it becomes so inactive. And He's also working towards stealing our conscience away from Him. We live in a country today, or in the world, where conscience is for sale. It goes to the highest bidder. It's always looking for men who will run alongside with Him. But God knows that we can win over the adversary. He always wants to lead us in the wrong. He wants us to come to a place whereby we begin to see it as something that is normal. We begin to minimize sin in spite of knowing the consequences of wrongdoing or walking against the will of God. But God will not leave us without a witness. And the witness that God has given to us will not stand against us on the day of judgment. Christ is that witness. He's the standard of righteousness. He's the standard of righteousness. not what men call it. God have come to reveal himself to us so that we can know what his expectations are. That is why when you are in the marketplace of the world, because the world is like a marketplace, you have to go to the market with one mind. And that mind is the mind of Christ. It's the mind that only want to please God and only want to do the will of God. If you are a double-minded person, you have other considerations apart from God. You have other considerations apart from glorifying God. Then the devil will beat you to it. He will beat you flat. Because most times the offer of Satan are always irresistible. But God has set a standard through Jesus Christ. And we are all walking towards that standard. And you know what the standard is? He said, he was in all point tempted as we are. Yet, there is sin in the world. But Jesus disgraced sin. And the Bible says he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the captain of our eternal salvation. It was not just a medal that they just put on his neck. That word is not an honorary title. I don't know how you feel when you see people who never went to school and they gave them professorship. Jesus did not earn that without fighting. He is life himself, but he fought to stay alive. That's why the scripture says that in our struggle with sin, we have not resisted sin. So you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Sin will always come. It's always there. There's these inclinations to go in the wrong. But if you have a single mind, not a double mind, if your mind is pure, the devil is going about sowing seed of discord and disaffection towards God. He's calling our attention to what we don't know anything about. He will tell us that we need that exposure to be all that God wants us to be. But the only exposure we need is God. I may not know any other thing and every other thing, but I know God. Jesus' desire is to please the Father, not to please himself. So in your struggle with sin, if you are a double-minded person, That's why people call us narrow-minded people. But the Bible says, if your eyes is single, your body will be full of light. You don't have any other thing you are thinking about but just God. Every day of your life, you're always thinking about God. What can I do for you? What do you want from me? And God said to you that, oh, what do I give to you? He said, oh, what you have given to me is enough. The promise of everlasting life. Even if you don't give any other thing in return, that's all I'm living for. The power of sin will knock you down if you don't have that same kind of mind that Jesus Christ had. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. He's not looking for reputation with men. He lives for the commendation of heaven. He values credibility with God more than the praise of men. He's looking for nothing. Even when you call him good master, he can see through you that you are lying. Because his body is full of light. When the lies and the deception of the enemy comes, he can see through it. He said, my judgment is always right. Why? Because I seek to do his will. What the devil is up to is to destroy our sense of judgment. And when your sense of judgment is destroyed, there's no more accurate discernment. Yet sin can only be discerned. If you view sin with the eyes of the flesh, it will not look like sin. Sin is a spirit. So you know sin by the spirit of discernment. If your senses are not developed enough, you'll not be able to discern the operations of the devil around your life. He's always seeking to lead us away from the right path of the Lord and what God really wants for our life. That's the reason why we have to stay open. The Bible says that he wants you to grow in the knowledge of the will of God, in all wisdom and spiritual what? Understanding. I pray God will give us spiritual understanding this season. In Philippians 1, he said that your love for God will abound more and more in sound judgment. That to be rooted in the knowledge of God. So that you'll be able to discern what the will of God is for your life. Because we are sincere does not mean you are blameless. You need the love of God to be strong in your heart, to keep abounding. And that's the way the love of God abounds in our heart, as we keep practicing the commandments. You are sowing the seed. What God multiplies the seed sown. Every time you walk in the will of God, not looking back, you are sowing the seed. What you reap is more love. He said, whatsoever a man soweth, he shall do what? When you sow into the flesh, you reap what? Corruption. When you sow into the spirit, you reap what? You have the returns in form of the life of God. The same way, someone who is not walking in the will of God, who is sowing into the flesh, who is living an hypocritical life, They grow from worse to worse. In other words, they have been trained by the devil. They have, see, it's just like God said. He said, when you get your, he said, those people who can discern between the holy and the profane, that people have got their senses developed. The same way their conscience have been trained to walk in a contrary way, different from the true way of the Lord. So that's what the Bible says, they will also have the result. They grow from worse to worse. Because they have been deceived, they still go about deceiving others. That's why you're going to see people today who are walking in the flesh, who are not walking the commandments of God. You understand? And their ministry is so enterprising. Everybody is looking for them everywhere. But they are doing something contrary to the doctrine of Christ. And that is what is selling the market today. So it takes accurate discernment for you to be able to recognize. There's a thin line between life and death. If you are not spiritual, you're not going to recognize what is sin in your life. That's why to some people, some things can say, oh, this thing is not, it's not good for me. And someone says, oh, it's normal. What is not good? Can't you see how nice that thing is? That's just for you. But when you are not looking for anything for yourself, when you are not seeking for self-honor, you are not living a life of self-glorification, you are ready to live his life. The life that Jesus Christ lived is the life of the Father. He laid down his life for the Father to breathe through him. God is aware of the place where he has brought him. He knows the devil will not give him rest. But on every side, he won. Because he's a man of one mind. God proved his heart, his loyalty. That you guys, you truly love me. And he himself professed, he said, I want the whole world to know this, that I have loved the Father, and I have done all. I've lived my life exactly the way the Father wanted me to live. It's not my life, it's the life of my Father. The richest man on earth today is not Elon Musk. It's not the Dangote of this world. The richest man is a man of love. He said, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches. Because they needed his love, they sowed the seed of love. You will need the seed of love to win. Because you are rich does not mean you have mastery over the power of sin. Won't be either. Our great grandfather, they went for it. Some of them are roasting in hell today. The great warriors, the Arianos, men who have fought great war, but yet the power of sin slight them. How mighty you are is not determined by your muscular strength or how much of connection that you have, is determined by your relationship with God that is always in constant service. How do you service your relationship with God? By the practice of righteousness. Every time I ask myself this question, in the negotiation table, in the days of Abraham, negotiating on behalf of Sodom. And God asked him, oh boy, let me scatter everything. And he said, God, if you can have 10 righteous men, Genesis 18:26. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Without destroy the city for lack of 5. And he said, if I find there 45, it's still okay by me. And you want to agree with me, it is not easy to be righteous. Because we have been taught that righteousness does not pay. People have looked at us in the past and said, holy maker, this is your forget holy maker. And thank God, our goal is not to make it. There is something we want to make. Our goal and target is different. So what gives us joy differ. So we are happy that we are staying on it. We are doing it. It's not calling us to run a race that you will not have anything to hand at the end of the day. People are ready to do just anything today to become something in life. He said, they discipline themselves. They work late. You understand? They sleep late. They are traveling from coast to make money. He said, yes, they will have it. But you, for something that is incorruptible. He said, they that run the race. The race is not the race of trying to be like every other person. You see, a lot of things going on in the church. They say, I've had people say, oh, God said, go and raise millionaire. That's good. That's good for him. But there's something I'm seeing here. The devil will wipe you. It doesn't really matter how much you have in your bank account. Sin will mess you up. I swear, Domode, you will just go and sleep with your house girl and everything you have worked for all these years because of your indiscipline. You have not learned discipline. Jesus did not win over the adversary by giving him karate. He used wisdom to displace him. We are tapping into this wisdom of God that is designed for our glorification. Wisdom of God is crazy at times. It's foolishness to some people. But this is one of the most essential ingredients you need when it comes to winning life. You have to win over sin before you can have a place for him. The devil is always pushing us every day so that we can suffer the loss of our reward. Not to say God had not made fantastic promises for us. God will not back out on his word. But we are covenant breakers. The place where we have found ourselves make it very difficult for us to keep the fire burning. And he was trying to say, God, what of? Okay, let me go 45. Okay, that would be okay. Good. Can you just make a whole nation? Why? Because for you to be a righteous man, you must have a good conscience. Everybody has conscience. But you know what makes the difference in the life of a believer? We have the Holy Ghost as our roommate to guide us unto all truth. Is there to help our fallen conscience? He said, he helped your infirmity. He will always guide you in the way of righteousness. Even when you are praying. He said, for he helped our infirmity. For we do not know what to ask for. But he prayed for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he who knows the mind of the Spirit is the one who knows the mind of God, rather. He knows the mind. Okay, see, and he that searches the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according. Holy Spirit will always lead you according. That may not be pleasant to your flesh. If you are looking for something, you cannot go for that kind of bidding. That's why you have to think twice even before you lay your hands on the plow. You are either in or out. You will not be a casualty in this journey. You will not be a byword. You will not suffer the loss of your conscience and then make a shipwreck of your faith. That will not be your portion. There's something called the conscience of your faith. When you are committed and you are loyal to the truth of Christ. When you are saying to him, Lord, I truly love you. He said, I remember the faith that is in your great grandmother Louis. He said, that same faith is in you. These are people that follow God without any string attached. You cannot be in Babylon and you attach strings to your love for God. We must educate ourselves and know what true faith is. The opposite of unfeigned faith is fake faith. And when you are like that, the devil is happy. That's the place where sin reigns. He knows you are living a divided life. Let us stop pursuing a life of hypocrisy. Let's start pursuing a life of integrity. You are not doing anybody a favor. You are doing yourself a great favor. Come on, say one mind. Come on, say one love. And in that love, just to please him and please him. Can you get this for yourself? Say no. Him. It's not going in your favor. What do you do now? Say just him. Life is just like a stock exchange market. It's a place where destinies are exchanged. Where the devil use Saturday to collect Sunday from your hand. When you are going for negotiation, just go with one mind. Those guys said no other thing. When we throw you into the fire, they set them up. But they refuse to bow to the image of the king. Yes, sir. God needs your loyalty and commitment to his love You understand? For you to win over the power of sin. Say, oh, go and think about it. Say, no. Let's set to it now. Because we are just wasting time. If you give up, if you go home and you're wasting time, let's do what we want to do now. Maybe you have set the fire. Is this one thing? I say, yes, is this the one thing? I mean, none of us want to go in a way that is not pleasing to your flesh. But Jesus chose to die. When a man, he has the day of his death, do you think he'll be rejoicing? But he was being led like a sheep to the slaughter because he knows that's the will of God. For this purpose, I have come to this world to bear witness. So he wasn't looking for anything. He said, the Son of Man have come to, they have not come to be ministered to, but to minister unto others and to give his life as a ransom. See how much you will be. See, we are, he said, Jesus is the standard. And we must put our feet. You understand? Follow his steps. Walk in that path. It's called the path of victory. Most times we are careful about so many things when we miss out on the main thing. The man that lives in sin, you understand? Does he have any eternal life with God? And we are not doing anything about it. Every time you want to preach to someone and you want to talk to him about Jesus, and he said, No, give your church stuff. And I said, Okay. What about this, your sin? What are you doing about it? You don't need to be a Christian to know that if you're a sinner, you go to hell. Let me just talk about this hell thing, because they said they don't need Jesus. For you to escape the hell thing, you need Jesus. Jesus came so that you can escape the hell stuff. He has come to rescue us from this present wicked world. The world that you think that is in your favor, but is wrecking your future. Your monkey will be hitting banana. And you'll be twisting. You'll talk like this. But you will not know how much of damage the devil is doing to your life. I say, I don't think I can come to your church. I don't come to your church again. Don't come. What are you doing about this? Your sin. Because when it comes to that, you are helpless. You are helpless. He came because he find out that we are helpless. Our fathers that hurt manna in the wilderness, they were helpless. We are there today. See, he finished them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Sin was taking them to where they don't know. Remember the advert. He said, they are taking me to where I don't know. But it is not without your consent. It's time for us to begin to cut the ground over the adversary. Cut the ground underneath him. Give him no foothold. And when God is trying to destroy the foothold of the enemy in our lives, whether we are resisting him, we want every other thing. The only thing we don't want is God. He said, you need me in your life to help you. You cannot win on your own. I brought you to this new life so that I can bring you up. That's when you begin to say, without me, He said, without me, you can do what? It doesn't matter what you have, it will waste you. Because you cannot personally meet up with the standard of the commandments. It will need to help you. We are not talking about things that are acceptable to men. We are talking about things that are acceptable to God. The life that God Himself approved. And that kind of life will shock you. There's no time I read Matthew chapter 5. He said, pray for those who persecute you. Love the unlovable. He said, that's the commandment. I said, but this is beyond me. And you know what sin is? 1 John 3, 4, he said, it's lawlessness. And lawlessness is sin. Disobedient to the commandment. So as I said, the richest of man in this world, if you are not rich in Christ, you are a loser. So prosperity and poverty is not defined by within the material context. But God knows how to bring us to the threshing floor so that we can know what we lack in our life. That is why we need the trial of our faith to test the genuineness of our love. Because our ingenuity is a good ground for the enemy to operate. That is where he lays eggs. He said, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, he said, you become partaker of his divine nature. And he began to progress. Adding to your faith virtue. And I met the pastor saying the other time, he said, these are the things you need in your life so that you will not fall. But if you lack these things, how then do you make your calling and election a thing of reality? He said, consider your calling, brethren. Not many nobles were called, but they have chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Those men who think they are wise in their own sight. It's not how able-bodied you are. Fight with sin is not a muscular fight. It's a spiritual fight. That's why I said it's not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit. Devil has a success record. But we are breaking that record. Jesus is a record breaker. And we are following suit. The proof that we have his seed in us is that we are also record breaker. He said, when you sin, you're of the devil. When you practice righteousness, he said, you are of God. He said, since you even have his seed in you, you have the seed of his love in your heart. The fruit of that seed is righteousness. So how then will you sin? And Paul answered them in Romans 3. He said, God forbids. Shall we therefore continue in sin that the grace of God will abound? You're not getting it right. What a ghastly thought. You that have his seed in you. That seed needed to be developed. That seed needed to be nurtured with all diligence. Give attention to that seed in you. That's the seed of your love for God. That's what it means when you say you are growing in grace. You can grow in religion and not grow in love. I I almost become a world leader in the celestial church. They will teach you how to carry service. You know what I mean by carry service? For blessing. And when they find out that you are good at it, in fact, my world leader at that time, you understand, he can't preach. But I have one small Bible like this. Incomplete Bible. I read like no man business. So when my world leader want to preach, you understand? After I said one thing or the other, he didn't know the next thing to say. Emi, I can't blame him. We enter into spirit. I said, about you are stuck. He didn't know the next thing again. After a while, he met me on the street. Said, you this guy. Said, in fact, if you have been in church, you will have been so evangelist. I said, he didn't know that I'm not born again. I have redeployed. I've resigned from service. Delete my name. Where are you working now? I'm working for God. In the service of God, not the service of sin. And every form of service like that have their reward. It's the wages of sin is what? And the wages of righteousness is what? Eternal life. Don't let the devil shortchange you. He will use today to collect tomorrow from your hand. As you are in the present, you are working for the future. The reason for today is our tomorrow. Until you maintain that purity of mind. You know, the devil will always come. He said, I'm afraid. If Satan has beguiled you, he has come to lure you away from your place of pure and sincere devotion unto God. And the disposition of your mind will determine whether you'll be allured or not. Because most times, our disposition most times is that we also want to do. We have not come to a place that we do not love our old life. We do not detest our old. We are not ashamed of our old. Our old way of life is something that, in fact, most times you sleep and you say, okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. You're still salivating. That's why most times you don't appreciate what Christ has delivered you from. That's why until you come to Christ, you cannot be ashamed of those things. Say, things you are now ashamed of. You know what you do? You now glory in your shame. When a man's conscience is dead, he glory in his shame. Because he doesn't see himself accountable to anyone, no sense of accountability, no commitment to a life of righteousness. So he sees what he's doing as normal. So sin will face less resistance. As long as money is coming to your account. Most times we think less about our account in heaven. He said, thank you for all the things you are doing, you're giving. He said, we are not telling you to give so that you just give, but so that something can be credited. You can put your money in the bank and the bank may fold up. You you must know how to convert your earthly life to heavenly currency. He said, the children of this world, they are wise in their own generation. They use what they have, you understand, to create what they do not have. Today's life can be converted to currency that heaven will reckon with. Righteousness is the currency of heaven. Not your own righteousness. Why? Because in heaven, there's currency detector. You know, people that we come and spend fake dollar and fake everything to you. In heaven, you cannot fake anything. And you will meet it there. That is why your faith is worth fighting for. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. I will not deny him because of my need. I will not deny him because of any luxury of life. In the face of satanic harassment and intimidation, in the face of contradictory life challenges, I will not deny him. He said, I have this to your credit. Even in the days when the devil is raging, you do not deny my name. Today's church will not only deny him, we sell him. Every time I look at the life of Judas, I say, but faking Bobo. Do you know when everybody went out to preach and demons were casting out? He was there telling them. You know, in those days, how we used to cast out devils. I remember in my former church, you understand, when we do night vigil like that, we started where? You understand? Night vigil, prayer. But after a while, people are rushing and coming. They need deliverance. They need this, they need everything. We just turn our night vigil to deliverance night. We will do deliverance from morning, from evening till daybreak. 7 o'clock, some people are still on the floor. I'm the office staff. So if they don't rise up, I won't go home. But what is funny is that the same set of people that fell last week, and when it comes to the time of deliverance, they will tell us that, please let all the pastors line up, let all the pastors line up, and our fans club, we stay in our front. You know, all the pastors have their own fans club. It's Pastor Kini, I like. So when you are, you see, just to boost the ego of your the one you like, and if you want to spoil work for the other pastor, you understand, he will shout, come out. I see a lot of drama. After, if we allow that one to cry, shout, nothing happened, we just cross to another line, and before I get there like this. That was, they want to prove me wrong. See, you know, I'm on your deal. I've seen someone in our church in those days, understand? You know, we have some of these big madams, big people in town, in that church. You understand? And they came to me. My wife was staying with some of them. We used to come from Elisha to Shogbo. So when it comes to weekly meetings, she stays there, I stay in another place, and all of those stuff. So they were close to her, they were trying to lecture her. So as a result of that, you understand, and they were able to enter into her and also enter into me. Some of them left a particular church. They were in Rema Chapel. Because that pastor was so hard on them. Because he has caught them red-handed. Because you go to church does not mean you are living a sinless life. Tell me you have power over sin, you understand? But because we are not seeking for that power. He said the kingdom of God is not just in words, but in what? He said don't argue with anybody. Let everybody come and show strength. Strength is not competition about church building. Oh, great man of God, are you walking in the commandment? And they said to me, said this, the pastor of their former church, he said, we announced, we said, it's going to be the one that will do night VG. You know, the next night VG. So we'll be doing a lot of publicity and everything. They said, is that man you want to bring? I said, what's wrong with him? He said, you know when people want to spoil you? He said, It was later I now knew that this church was using an hotel. Presidential hotel. And the gate man, we now call the pastor. You are just wasting your time. He said, come 5 o'clock. This member of your church, this your church members, they will come back to this place. Pastor, I'll go. You know, people going, they just say, hello, brother. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. 5 o'clock, they are back to come and meet there. And the pastor was so hard on them. As, what kind of life is it? You are living a double life, church life, and another life. So that's where you want to appear in the church. That is a deceptive life. Some of us have public life, and we have church life. Some of us even have the voice we use in the church. You have another voice outside. Our journey with God is not to conform to the world.
Thank you, sir.
It's to be transformed. You know why you pay tithe and you give offering? Because they are taking you through a process of transformation. That will pay you. You will need that transformation in your life for you to be able to have power over the power of sin. And the pastor called them red-handed. And they cannot stay in that place again. So when the man came, eventually they said, no, we have done the publicity and everything. I didn't know they have entered into some other people. Said, pastor. And in those, that was when deliverance was so popular. So they even know that pastor, especially in deliverance. Breathe in and breathe out. All these deliverance techniques. The man used technique from deep down me. I knew what I'm saying. I said, I know my idea is shame. Nobody is shame, you know. I was just thinking in my heart. I said, something has happened. And when it's about 4 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock, I said, it's like, I took the microphone. I just let me just pray for the people. They just want to disgrace that man. Church can be as bad as that. That's the place where we have a claim of spirituality and we are still living as mere men. He said, I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. And you want to fight Satan. You want to fight the power of sin. You have failed even before you step into the ring. You fight sin with determination. That is why your goal must be clear in life. When you come to the Christendom, You just want to be like Christ. He said, let us therefore run with determination. Hebrews 12. The race that God has set before us. What is the race God has set before you? You go and start a church somewhere. You go and start a new business. It's the race of becoming. It takes determination to journey in God. It's a journey. If things are not clearly spelled out, you cannot have that kind of determination. That is why you must be intentional about it. There are things you do deliberately. You are committed to it because of the clarity you have about your life goal. When you have not got a lot of these things sorted, it's difficult to operate in this sin-choked society of ours today. The devil will come around your life, but you need Christ on the inside of you to be able to shield your mind from sin pollution. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants us to grow to become lovers of righteousness. But do you know it is possible for someone, you understand, to hate wickedness and yet not love righteousness? Hebrews 1 says, for he loved righteousness. And he hated. When you look at the Ephesian church and in Revelation 3, they hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. But what has happened to their love? The devil, we always want to tempt us to look away from ourselves. That's why I said it takes discernment for you to be able to recognize sin as sin. If just you just ignore it and it's entering into you. That's why there's no way you convince some people today. You understand? That's why the church don't have any other message but Christ. And him. Because if we need that crucifixion to put the back of the enemy on the floor. Without that discipline of the Father. Wisdom is about learning discipline. When you study the book of Proverbs 5, you see the harlot. And that man failed because of his folly and indiscipline. When you call the discipline of God foolishness, when you despise the chastisement of the Lord, then you will not be able to stand. Why? Because the purpose of God is not clear to us. We will not know that God is working in our favor. God has our good at heart. He wants the best for us. God don't want to watch you fail. He said, for I know the thought that I think towards you, that the thought of good and not of evil. For you to have a good expect. God always speaks with the language of the hand. That's why you see there's a connectivity between the trial of your faith and the outcome of it. He said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse kind of temptation. But because God is working some things out in your life. What you will need, the grace that is required for you to be able to stand, it is His grace. Wisdom of God is not something you pick on the floor. You learn wisdom by practice. In the place of practice, you understand? You know what you are supposed to take and what you are not supposed to take. You know your strength, you know your limits, and you know your weaknesses. And when you know your limitations, you understand, you can trust in the Most High to help you. Most times, the devil have succeeded at deceiving us because he will make us feel we can handle it. He said, Olivia, you can handle it. He said, sin is deceiving you. I don't need God to handle it. I don't need to grow in grace to handle it. I don't need the life of God in me to handle it. But I need all of God in my life. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free. You can only be free from the onslaught of Satan. You understand? When you have the Spirit of life in you, His indwelling, His presence, His nature. That is why to Paul the Apostle, you will realize that he's not, he knows how to play the game. He said, my little children, Galatians 4, of whom I traveled before birth, till what? Till Christ be formed. Because you will need the stature of Christ in you to be able to overcome the stature of the man of lawlessness. You will need His love to abound in you for you to be free from all the insinuations of the enemy. It will try you out. The Bible says, in the world we are sin abound, it says, grace abound the more. So what you need to float your ship is more of grace. What you lack is grace. What you lack is His love. How many of you know that love grows? I don't love my wife. I don't know what happened and everything. Keep loving. Yes, sir. Continue to love. Yes, sir. Make up your mind to love. You will know that love will grow. Yes. Love grow by practice. Through constant exercise. Most times we exercise ourselves bodily, but we don't exercise ourselves in godliness. It's a bodily exercise, profits little. But when you exercise yourself in godliness, it counts for the life. That's not, it's double gain. Because you will need His life here on earth to be able to weather the storm of life unto eternity. It's only they that overcome it. Don't say, I don't need God. Don't say, I don't need all of this stuff. That I need to grow. The place where the enemy is laying his egg, I have to change the structure of that place. Having escaped the corruption that in the world through lust, what you love above God in your life, that's the place where the devil lays his eggs. He will lay the eggs, he will hatch it, and he will release the chicken. How many of you know that if the devil wants to lay his eggs, he cannot lay it on the ground of patience. He cannot lay it on the ground of hope. He cannot lay it on the ground of love. He cannot lay it on the ground of long suffering. He cannot lay it on the ground of contentment. He cannot lay it on the ground of righteousness. And every time God wants to change the ground underneath you, you understand? So that the devil will not have a place, you understand? Turning your life to a breeding ground for all manner of evil and demonic activities. We resist God. And the only way God does is not by deliverance.
is deliverance by the word. And you know the kind of deliverance God does, you understand? It is Jesus Christ saying, he said, you will know the truth, and the truth will do what? He didn't say we set you. He said, I will make you to be difficult for the enemy to handle. When he called Peter, he said, I will make you to become. Becoming what God wants us to become, render the enemy impotent and useless. It is only on that ground that the power of the enemy is disarmed. He can't operate. He cannot carry out his enterprise successfully. And that is what God is working out in our life through the testing of our faith. He wants to, you see, what God actually wanted, he wants to bring you to a place of genuine love. Your ingenuity is a breeding ground for all manner of demonic activities. That's why we are talking about hypocrisy and seared conscience. The two goes together. When a man doesn't have conscience, you understand, it will be hypocritical. That's why you see the Pharisees, they will cover up with the law. He has not called us to keep the law. You may keep the law and not have his love. That's why I say there is possibility for someone, you understand? He hates wickedness. He's an activist. Nobody cheats in this place. But if I see people cheating, fighting each other, say, try to cheat that other person, he can kill that other person. That doesn't mean that he can obey the law of righteousness. Ordinary, love your wife as Christ loved the church. He cannot. If you are not man enough until you are able to love. Not just love. As. Don't come and daddy anybody here. Grow up. No matter what happens, you can contain it. Stop playing the blame game. Stop playing the victim. Hey, you see what I've found? What I've going on? Says, God wants you to handle it. God is raising men who can handle life. Don't stop complaining that in this world we have to pray, he has prepared you ahead of time. And what you need, God has given it unto you. He said, for he had given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Where? In this present world. So you have your choice to make. You understand? To either say yes to God and no to Satan. Hallelujah. You must be a man enough. They are throwing everything at you. I say you can contain it. You will not use evil to repay evil. You overcome evil with good. Oh, if everybody is doing good to you, every stupid person on the street can do that. You are nice to those who are nice to you. The moment you pick some things in them, you begin to walk in malice. We are all susceptible to all of these things. But you are pretending, you are making God a liar. You are covering up. Everybody, you put on the mask of Christianity. Those Pharisees, they put on the mask of Christianity. Outward purification and inner corruption. Whitewash sepulchre. Dirty on the inside. We live in a generation that want to, I call it a Facebook generation. Appearance oriented generation. Everybody is struggling for how he will appear in the sight of people. Then you keep thinking about what will others be thinking about me. That's why if your goal in life is not just to please God, you come to Babylon to trade. You may not come out alive. You know, most times you are lying to yourself and you know. You know, who is lying? You want to tell me he doesn't know that he's lying? How long do you want to live in a lie? Do you want to die lying? The devil is always raising volunteers, you understand? He's the father of lies. And he's recruiting men every day. He's raising a breed. The way God is raising us up as his sons, the devil also is raising his own children. He's the father of rebellion. He's a murderer. He's a sinner. The Bible says, from the beginning, let him bury a year. So when he says you have your father, the devil, he's not, the devil also has his own children that is raising and is monitoring them, their growth. There are people who stay in church because they are not open to the truth of God's word. If you are not careful, you may end up throwing bomb. One bomb, $1 million. And you know when Christians want to do that, they will excuse themselves from church. Because they have a project they want to carry out. That may be the time that pastor is now preaching. But when the love of God is in your heart, you understand, it doesn't matter what your needs are, your loyalty is unto God. The apostles, in the face of this world, they will not deny Christ. They will not see trouble and run. The devil wants them to back out on God. And Jesus said, if you deny me or not, I will do what? He said to Peter, you will learn your lesson the hard way. You have mouth, but you don't have love. How many of you know it is very difficult to prove to people that you don't love God? But there's a way God set you up for you to know. When the demands of the kingdom are placed, you understand? Then we know. We know what your true values are. The feast is ready. Let everybody gather and say, what you love more than God, your priorities in life will begin to show. Then we know that this is how much you love God. How many of you know that we love God more than each other? It depends on our revelation and our willingness to walk with God. Those people that told Paul that he should not travel, they are Christians. They are not only Christians, they are prophets. How many of you know that it's possible that those guys, you understand, they may decide not to greet Paul again. Say, oh boy, oh yeah, you are stubborn. You are stubborn. You say you are the only one that loves God, but love past love. That's why when God is distributing the assignment, he knows your capacity. Your capacity is determined by your love. There are people who don't have the love of God, but they aim at great things. Why are you exercising yourself in high matters? Everybody likes good things. And when you say, bring out your credentials, you say, I even have better credentials than all of these people. I read the story some years back. That was a pastor that just graduated from the Bible school. And he went for attachment in a particular church. And along the line, during the time, that was the time when, you know, the senior pastor of that church died. And because this guy, you understand, so energetic, you know, and charismatic and everything, all the young people just likes him and all of this. Why are we looking for a pastor elsewhere? You just graduate everything, become pastor of this church. Pastor of a very big church, a kind of city church. That all the big shots in the town, every one of them, Ateku Ati Sebe. And his friends told him, they said, do you think you can pastor this? He said, why not? You know what? Before that time, before he went to Bible school, he already has a problem. He was in courtship with a lady, you understand? And slept with that lady, and they have a child. But you, there's a way society can help you to cover those things up. The devil knows how to help you cover your shame because it pays him. That's a deal. And you know, that's what you'll be using. Say, best speaker. So then you must continue. Begin to give you assignment. We give you assignment. Say, you are not. Devil is a perfect negotiator. That's why you must be spiritually sound and allow the spirit to help you when you come to negotiate it. One thing is important to you, understand? It's about your destiny. It's about the commandment of Christ. It's about the purpose of Christ. The way God wanted life to be lived is not negotiable. Every one of us must have a non-negotiable factor in our life. It's not subject of discussion.
Yes, sir.
God forbid that I give you my father's inheritance. Not for money. Not for anything. The devil wants us to trade our integrity, betray our conscience, you understand, and trade our... Can you just imagine? Even family property. I've seen people that who are born again, family property, you understand, they stole the paper and document and they have sold it for years and nobody knew. In as much as you pay tight, it's for God's glory. You don't use sin to glorify God. You cannot honor God in disobedience. Don't try to displease Him in order to please Him. Obedience to Him is better than sacrifice. God don't want all of those things. Don't try to manipulate God. What He wants, He wants. What He doesn't want, He doesn't want. And this young guy said, oh, that's good. I can do it. I can handle it. Within 6 months, he slept with the choir leader. Because he has no law righteousness. Some of us, we have not truly repented. We don't even see anything wrong with the life we were living before. That is why he called us to live a life that contrasts the life we were living before. Nothing attractive about that life. The only thing that life will hand you is death. And before you know it, you understand? God later helped him. That's why he was able to pen down the book. He said he realized that, you know, he would just tell the wife and his family, said, I want to go to a personal retreat on Friday. So we just meet them up in church. When God tells you that you cannot handle a level of comfort, you say, you begin to feel God. Why stop that? You will need it. Some of us, we are okay. Everything's okay now. Money has not come. And if God loves you, have you ever, you know that God is the one who is in control of your life. But most times you can be so mischievous. because you want pity party. But you yourself, you know yourself that you need the Uber. And somebody say, oh, the man need the Uber. Say, how long would I die alone? Say, yeah, say, what, I know myself. That's a honest man. That's why when God is dealing with you, so that you can, he said, he's the son that the father loves. It does what? Some of us, we don't have perfect understanding of what the love of God is. Love will not let you do what you like. Love will tempt you and tailor you to do what he wants for your good. For all things work out together for the good of those that what? If you don't love God, you will not see that something that is good. Yet God is good all the time. He has your good at heart because God is aware of what is outside there. In Luke 15, to me, the father of the prodigal son knew that, oh, Marty Crowley, don't leave this house. You have to learn discipline. He knows there is enemy outside there. And what is in you cannot handle what is outside there. You need the life of the Father in you. But most times, you know what we go for today, you understand? We want material possession. The man went to his father, give me my own portion. He thought that his portion is Christ, his money. And the father said, if that's all you want, you are not getting it right. So, bye-bye. Because the person that is there, who has the mindset that his portion in Christ, you understand, is making money, having breakthrough in life, and all of those things. If you don't give him what he wants that time, most time you think you have won. You have just lost a major battle. You can't keep that man at home. The man wants money. He will sell all the Luba blades at home. He will destroy everything. So he said, let him go. See, you are crazy in the head. In a place that's an adage. Ode lo ma da omo re labo. Sit, we teach you lesson. You are going like that. Why? Because you will not allow God to do a thorough work in your life because you don't know what is outside there. God is aware of what is on the at the street. You understand? When you get to the street, he knows you can't handle the boys. They are the area boys. They are priests. They are the man territories. There's one man that used to do that. Said, D.O. Not that one. Because I also had another minister now that said that, me, I love sheep. And I don't want my sheep to be killed by bandits. I'm a good shepherd. So when you are coming, he said, he made public announcement. He said, all the people that know how to do charm, how to do everything, you understand? Say, please, I have church in Canada. I have said, this man have church in Canada. I have church in UK. I have church everywhere. Oh, boy, my jam, you got a matter? Dero! By the time, you understand? We want to do that thing and you don't come, Mali Ejadeni. You think he loved the sheep? The man who claimed to love the sheep, where is he taking the sheep to? The man who doesn't even know where he's going. He's just taking them to somewhere, Asha. Our journey with God is not without a clear destination. When you are leading others to what? We are not leading men to church. We are leading men to Christ. And when you lead men to church, let it be with the mind that you are leading them to Christ. Don't drop them in church until Christ is formed in them. Because people seem not to want to know the difference again. In church. What will make the difference is the life of Christ in the church. when God is touching somebody's life and he remember that, ah, God, you are still alive. Stop exercising yourself in high matters. Some of us, we think that, okay, I have delay in marriage. Why is that everybody's marrying? Only God knows what he's preparing you for. Most I want to jump into marriage, we don't know what is in it. You want to be like every other person. And God, let me prepare you for it. So the time God wants to prepare you, you will not yield to that kind of preparation. Nobody's delaying you. You are the one delaying yourself. Because God will not allow you to disgrace him. You are the only one that have the definition of what to glorify him. But God is the one who knows that only one thing will glorify me. If you want to honor me, if I'm your father, he said, I deserve honor. Obedient to my commandment. You know, time when you are praising God, God, this will not glorify you. This will not glorify God. Say, you ain't gonna glorify me. That's why you must live for that. Paul said, I pray 3 times. But look at a man who have settled for what will glorify God. He said, it doesn't matter the way it turns. All I want is that if this will bring glory to God, will make me, you know, God is glorified. You are making him glad when you beat the enemy to it. The devil left heaven hungrily. I said, hey, I will spread disobedience everywhere. I will spread rebellion everywhere. And God said, no, I will stop it. And that's why God have raised the church. That's why to the world and to Satan, you understand? He said through us, he will show forth his many-sided wisdom to principalities and power. They are the forces that control things in this world. What do you mean? You are a marvel to them. Because there's no area, there's no way they touch you, they will not be able to handle you. You are the one that determine the direction that the devil will go. The devil don't control you any longer. He said you will tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the works of the enemy and nothing. Let God prepare you. We soon close this section. Hallelujah. Let God prepare you. The song we used to sing, Lord, prepare me. It's just good. It's good for me. It's just good. It's good for me. If you are honest with yourself, you are sincere with yourself, you know that it's just good. People that are praying for you, people that are trusting God with you, people that are trying to say one thing or the other, as if this your God can be wicked, though, and all of those things, deep down you know that it's not wicked, though, it's loving. It's a loving Father. I need this kind of training in my life. You will learn self-control. You will learn patience. You will learn contentment. These are the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. If you are contented, greed and covetousness will not make you to slide into something. You will not enter into the hand of 419. You are free. There's nothing we say. But so you have not mastered greed. You have not mastered covetousness. Your son, you are not ready to live at your means. You want to roll with the big boys. You don't want people to see you as you are backward. So you are trying, but you are not trying in the spirit. The only labor you will not do is labor in the spirit. With all diligence, you are added to your error. Amen. Let God do a thorough work. If you know what is outside, you understand? You allow God to do a thorough work. But the devil make you to undermine the devil outside there. There was this film we used to watch in those days, the home video. That was this Abijah stuff. There's another one before Abijah. Fadeyi. When his child, you know, his son now went to the, you know, to he went to the riverside to fetch water, and some people met him there, and he forgot his charms and everything, and so they beat him black and blue. And when he got back home, weeping and crying, "Kilosi, Abijah, Juke," he said, they beat you. It's a disgrace. If sin beat you, it's a disgrace to God. He said, "My son, make my heart to be glad so that I can reproach my adversary." And you know what he now said to him? Because in this town, that somebody beat my son, we fight back. God wants you to go back there to fight back. He said, "They that now know their God, they'll be stronger." One time say, "They will fight back." He said, "Okay, I can now see." You understand? Say, and if you want to fight back, you get yourself harmed. And when you are harming yourself, you understand? You know, say your weapon of war, they are not carnal. What do you think God is saying about your weapon of war? All the things you about the fruit of the spirit, the nature of the Father, that's your weapon of war. Put on the all. That's all of God. He has no respect for your color, for your gender, for anything. When he sees the man in the hammer, he knows that, yes, the only thing that scared the devil is God's presence. He said, "The kings gather together and they assemble." But as soon, he said, because he has made his defense to be sure in the citadel, as soon as they saw it, they run into panic like a woman in travail. You understand? He said, and they took to their flight. When they see, he said, Jordan saw and Jordan parted. When the enemy sees God in your life, I'm not saying he will begin to take snap of God. You understand? What he sees in your life is contentment. He said, "Kole work." Let's move fast. There are many people on the street. "Kole work." A man that loves God without any string attached. He's not waiting for what God will do to him and for him and all of those. He just said, "God, I just love you. The way you love me, just as I am. I just love you as you are. All for you. Everything for you. All for you. All for you." You go to the battle with such a determined mind. The devil is not as strong as most of us have thought. The leverage he has over us, we are the one that gave it to him. And God said, "Let me clear the ground for you. Let me change it for you. Let me put myself in you. I want to see how he will sow the seed of..." He said he placed himself in his son. He put himself in his son. You understand? Reconciling the whole world back. If God place himself in you, I want to see how the devil will be able to hatch his egg where God has placed himself. That house cannot house two people. It's only God that can take the floor of the house and destroy the power of sin in our life. We can reign over sin. We can reign over sin. We reign over sin as we reign in righteousness. And his life is formed. We need it. It's good for us. All things work out together for the good. That's why don't let the devil interfere. It's a family affair. In this family, we are up to something. God is working out his plan in our life. Except for we know that it's God who work in us. Both to will and to do. You cannot do what God wants. You cannot walk in the commandments of God. You cannot walk in righteousness until you allow God to walk. He has to walk. Let's open up our life to the workings of the Spirit. Let there be less celebration about outward manifestation of power. Breakthroughs that we celebrate. Most in the season of our life, when everything seems to be so quiet and silent, God is working with it. Even though there may be a wasting away on the outside, the Bible says, he daily renew our inward parts. We need his life to face the heat. Let God do a thorough work. Don't go and tell your boss, if you have freedom, you are not fit to go. Until God say you are fit to go. Doesn't matter how powerful and mighty you are. You can bring down the fire and every other thing. And God say, get out of the sin. Go to the brook called Cherith. There is something I want to work out in your life. Because there is still enemy outside there. But we don't want to go. Say, God, it will go now. What is this? We just demonstrated power and everything. And God say, no. I shut for no one to open. And I open for no one to shut. Only the coach have the right to know the player that will be fit for the match. Most times when God bench us, you understand? It's because he wants you to learn patience. Yes, sir. The curriculum of God is not like the curriculum of the world. Why? Because God's scheme of work is different. It's not what is acceptable to God that is also acceptable to men. Let's look for things that are acceptable unto God. We need this love to journey in him. That's why he has given unto every man the measure of it. This love is supposed to develop and grow. And he who has planted the seed will water it. He will nurture it. He will ensure that no man ought it. You will grow in grace. Your desire will be to grow in grace. I say your desire will be to grow in grace. But see, I realize that you don't grow in grace when you are carrying two things in your hand. When you have other desires, you want it to grow, you have to be single-minded to grow in grace. Because you cannot travel this road that God wants you to travel for you to acquire the grace and the energy of God. Your father is strong and he wants you to be strong. We expose you to the heat. You need it. That thing is in the family. Let's be honest. Let's be sincere with ourselves. You understand? Because we go to church, doesn't mean anything. Because we speak in tongues, doesn't mean anything. You need honest assessment of your life. Don't throw tantrums. Don't play victim. Don't be mischievous. Say, God, I don't deserve it. God, you mean God is crazy? He didn't know what he's doing? Faith means you know that God knows what he's doing. You cannot know better than him. Yes. And when you know that he's working out together for my good. Yes, sir. That good we are talking about, you're saying, is count for the life that is now is and the one to come. He's preparing you for something awesome and for something great. Father, we thank you. Liana Tozobamaita, Denis Sodia. You are leaving this place just with one desire. You don't have any other desire. You cannot be running after money and still be running after God. You have to make your choice. What the Father gives is not money. Let's rise up on our feet. It's not money. He gives life. He gives life. He gives life. The father willed all his property to Ishmael. And all that he has, he gave unto Isaac. He needs all that he has to be able to keep the family line. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Is he God of Ishmael? What makes Abraham to be Abraham? He gave it. That's what I want.
Yes, sir.
It's not just that I want it. I know the value of it. I don't trade it for anything. I will need him. I will need him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Spirit, words of life has come unto you. Now is the season to walk in the things spoken. For more messages, visit our website at www.thecitygate.org. Stay blessed.